Thank you, Mr. Booth. Hello, and welcome again to everyone here today. It's a wonderful, bright day outside. It may look warmer than it is, but the brightness outside cheers me up. I know that much. Hopefully the message will cheer everyone also. It's been a good week. I've stayed really busy. It helps keep me distracted from some of the worries that I have. I completed chores. I relaxed some with my family. But I always seem to get distracted from what I'm doing. I lose track of thought, lose track of my actions, and have trouble getting back to them. It's like in that movie Up. The dog, his name was Doug. Squirrel! Woo! And he loses track and he's off doing something else and he forgets completely what he was doing. Then I have trouble remembering where I was, what I was doing, what tasks I needed to complete. I get to the end of the day or get the end of whatever I was distracted doing and realize that I left the water running out in the yard or, you know, the vacuum cleaner is still running someplace. I get very much distracted. I don't think I really have ADHD, but sometimes it feels that way, and it can invade every part of my life. It keeps me from being on track all over the place, and I know at some points in time, it's the devil distracting me and trying to keep me from my task and keeping me from what I'm doing. I have the same trouble whether I'm at work, whether I'm at home. When I see things that need done, I want to go ahead and help and see where the problems are. It doesn't matter. Like I said, at home, cooking, laundry, other chores. The time I feel the worst about it, though, is during conversations or during messages. I start out listening intently, but other ideas tend to get me fixated on something else. I fixate on a phrase that's been spoken. I get distracted or jump ahead. And the next thing I know, I'm not listening to what's being said. It bothers me so much because I've let down the people that I'm trying to pay attention to and having a conversation with. The people I'm trying to learn from and the people I'm trying to do things for. I let them down. And then I also remember that the Bible is full of all kinds of people who did and didn't listen properly. People like Abraham and Noah, like Jonah and Job, the Pharisees and the apostles, and even the Samaritan woman. They all had different types of listening. They all paid attention in different ways and heard things differently when they were said. What kind of a listener are we when it comes to God's word? Are we like Jonah or the Samaritan woman? How did Jonah listen? In Jonah, the first chapter, let's turn there. Beginning in chapter 1, the first verse, we'll read 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying for the fare, he went aboard, and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah heard the word. He listened to everything that was said. The Lord told him to go to Nineveh and preach against it. Did he go? No, he ran away. He did the opposite. Did this work out for him? Chapter 1 continues, and they board the ship. There's a storm. Jonah's thrown overboard. He gets stuck, swallowed by the great fish. In chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer to the Lord. And then after the fish spat Jonah out, God spoke to him again. And then he went to Nineveh. But was he really listening to God even then? Or was he just hearing and doing? Was he just following the directions? Was it just the recipe and he was just doing what he thought? He was so distracted by what he thought he already knew that he did not want to listen and understand the compassion that God had for all of his children, whoever and wherever they might be. The Ninevites themselves, when Jonah showed up, they listened, they repented, and God spared them. But what about also the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman, how did she listen? As Christ and the disciples were traveling through Samaria, Christ waits at a well. When a Samaritan woman comes to the well, Christ asks for a drink. Let's turn to John 4. John, the 4th chapter. We'll begin in, the story takes place between verse 4 and verse 30, where he shows up, where he asks the woman. But starting in verse 7, when a Samaritan came down to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" The Jews of the time did not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water." As she and Christ sat there and talked about the difference between the well water and the living water, this leads to the Samaritan woman to understand that God wants us to worship God through the Spirit he gives us. She took this message and gave it to others. Many came to believe because she listened and heard and believed. How do we listen to God? How do we hear all the things in God's Word, but do we listen in earnest, with intent? Do we filter our hearing with our own understanding, or let God lead us to the truth? These words are learned through His Spirit. Do we listen like Jonah and have our own understanding and lead to our own thoughts? Or do we listen like the Samaritan woman and let God's Spirit lead us to lead others the way we should be? The way we listen in our conversations with God should be through His Spirit guiding us. This means in Bible studies, in hearing messages, and while hearing messages or even during our prayer. Are we even listening intently there? My message will be heard by everyone here, everyone listening on the internet, and they will not all understand it in the same way. We all came here on different paths. We are all led by the same Spirit and guided by the same goals and end that we want to have happen. But how we got here is different. And the understanding that we hear of these messages is going to be different. This is one of the ways that I think about the parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, Christ tells of the parable of the sower. In this parable, the seeds that are cast about by the sower land in different types of ground. And because of where they land, what becomes of the seeds is different. Some were snatched away, some sprouted and withered, some were choked by other plants around them, but some grew into strong and healthy plants. Each of us is a different type of soil or media that God's Word is spoken out to. And how we listen and how we grow in that is different for each one. So each of the media is going to change and be different. So our paths may have led us to this church, but they are different paths. There's different ways of understanding, and there's different things that God wants us to pull from all these messages. Some people will hear what I or other speakers say, and it will mean nothing. It will disappear. It'll be like water flowing off their back, and it won't grow or germinate into anything. Others' thoughts will come and carry it away. Some will hear what I have said, and it will spark only a short-lived expansion of their awareness. They'll only hear it, and for a short while, it will take root, but it won't last. These people are not prepared to take in the seeds of these ideas. These people are not ready. Their soil is not at the point where it's ready to hear these messages. The same messages later, when they are ready, might grow and thrive and produce rich fruits. There is a third group. The third group would hear the message and it will take root, possibly even strong roots. But weeds will come along and choke the life out of the idea which is growing. This happens when somebody comes and tries to tell them with their understanding how the message should have been heard and interpreted. God is the only one who can control our understanding of any of the messages. That doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about these with our friends, with our fellow brethren here in the church. That just means that when we're discussing it, we also need to keep an open mind that other people are not understanding the same way that we are. And we should be able to show them and lead them, not guide them and tell them how they should be doing things. So it is difficult to wrap one's head around. Again, we'll all discuss these messages, and this changes the way we understand the original message. But we have to make sure that we're helping people grow stronger in their own understanding through the Spirit. The last group is like the fertile soil. For these, the messages will become deeply rooted and produce wonderful fruit, that they'll be able to take these, guide them, and learn more and more. This could take the form of helping others who are not ready to move toward that understanding. We must remember that God gives us a choice as to whether we wish to follow where He leads. We must allow others that choice as well. Christ leads us to the door, but everyone must open it themselves. Christ is speaking to His disciples in verse 10 of Matthew 13 when He says, let's turn there. Matthew 13, wrong bookmark. Matthew 13, verses 11 and 12. He replied, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he does have will be taken away from him. So, we must understand that not everyone has the same understanding. Not everyone has the same knowledge and the same path that is being walked. Our understanding of the messages is given to us through the Spirit of God. Only He can guide us to that understanding. As a speaker, I give the words. As a listener, your understanding is through the Spirit within you. And now, let's follow it up with an offertory. Today is the first day of Unleavened Bread, and we'll be taking up an offering. As it is our custom, an offering is collected on the first day of Unleavened Bread. If anyone here needs a green envelope, an envelope to deposit their offering into, please raise your hand and an usher will come to you and help you out. Today I want to talk about what this offering means. And we'll begin where a lot of people begin, in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16:16. This breaks into where they're talking about all of the feasts of the Lord. And in verse 16 it begins, three times a year your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place He will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. We come at the appointed times. We come to in the presence of the Lord and to bring this offering and to hear the messages at appointed times. In the scripture, it talks about the feasts. These use the word chag or hag, which refers to the feasts of the Lord. But in certain other verses, it speaks about the appointed times. These are discussed in Leviticus 23, verses 2 through 4, and these times are referred to as the Mo'adim, or appointed times. God has set these times aside for us to meet together. It's like He's decided to have a meeting with us to guide us through our thoughts and guide us through our times. He has made known to us where and when these appointed times are and these appointed places are, and we must not appear empty-handed. We must appear and bring gifts. But we also must be a cheerful giver. We must give from the heart, and we must give to help others. Some of these others would include the Ukrainians at this present time, but there are others in need that these tithes and offerings help guide and help aid. In Acts 20, Acts 20:35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you that that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So we get great joy out of giving and about helping others. We give, when we give, we must give openly, and we do this because we are rewarded and thus able to give more. We don't do it for the reward, but the reward is given no matter what. Let me close with Luke 6th chapter. Luke 6, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." So we must give with a good heart, a kind heart, a loving heart, and what is given to others will pour back to us so that we may give more and more.